You guys had fun last week, right? You got to see a lot of different people talk about the feast and what they're taking from it. And everybody was so good last week. All the testimonies, all the things that you said and spoke, we were just so pleased with the way the service went. And it was so unique. It was the first time we'd ever done something like that. And so we're following up with something else we've never done before, which is having both of us up here for the sermon time to talk about some things. So.
Okay, you want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, just like we had asked folks last week to come up and share some perspective and some learning from the feast as they came home, we did the same thing. And that's just think about now that sort of, in one sense, a new year begins. After the feast, you come home, it's the end of the harvest, as it were. And just thinking about what are some of the lessons and things that David and I personally took away from the feast, and specifically what would we like to do in our personal lives, but also sort of setting a course or a vision for some of the things we'd like to do here at Rock Valley. And when you realize, one of the sermons that I'd given about the harvest talked about the fact that we have certain possessions, we have certain things in our lives that we get to use to take care of our families, take care of our friends, and also serve God. But there's also a reality that when you come to Christ, when you truly surrender everything that you are and everything that you have, you, in effect, become God's field. So that God can now have the opportunity, because you've surrendered your life to Him, you can give everything to God, because you realize that when you go down in the watery grave of baptism, it's a statement, it's an outward statement that says, look, I'm a sinner. And God, of my own accord, I'm dead. I cannot be productive. I can't bring forth fruit that produces life. I can only bring forth fruit because I'm of the flesh that produces death. So when you come up out of the watery grave of baptism and dedicate your life to Jesus Christ, you realize now that you, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, you are not your own. Therefore, and because you've been bought for a price, glorify God in everything that you do. And so when you are able as a Christian to take this perspective that all that I have is really God's, that's an evolutionary process. I think when you start as a Christian, you learn about some of these things, but as you go on through the years, it's an increasing level and a continuing repentance and conversion to deepen your understanding of what it is that God is doing in your life. And so when you think about your life and the opportunity to bring a harvest and to serve God, one of the things that struck me is that scripture that David had mentioned in his sermon about one of the six components of how we ought to judge ourselves. It comes from Luke, the 12th chapter, that says that he who is faithful in little is faithful in much. And so as God gives you whatever he's given you, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot, God is looking at what you're doing with what you know and with what you have. And one of those things is the ability to go out and share the message, to preach the gospel to this world who desperately needs it. Turn to Matthew 28. David and I said we were going to tag team once we got up here, but this is going to be...
I'm going to sit down.
This is going to be interesting. Because once you get rolling, you know, you just go. But David, feel free to interrupt me. Just be nice about it.
You want me to read these verses?
David, would you read Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20 for me?
Thanks for... And then you want to... Okay.
And then I'm going to expound upon it.
Very good. All right. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Why don't you comment on that, David?
Well, you know, as Scott was talking about some of the lessons that we learned from the feast, I think when you when you come away from the feast and you kind of think, well, we were to come together to bring forth an offering of things we had harvested. And, you know, when the farmer has the harvest, he has the harvest celebration. But then when he goes back, you know, away from the celebration, is planning, okay, what are we doing over this next year? What would the farmer be thinking about? How do you provide? How are you going to have something to bring forward next year as an offering? And maybe sometimes people show up at a feast saying, well, I don't know what I have to give. I don't know what I have to offer. But if you kind of think about the life that Scott was talking about the wholeheartedness to God, that was one of the lessons that I took. Having a passion for God in what you do, having a passion for how you're going to bring forth a harvest, having a passion that you will arrive on the day before God and you have something very sweet to offer Him. And so here is Jesus claiming that He has all authority. I think that verse 18, is so important to say, I have all authority, and this is my command to you. Go. Go, therefore, into all the world. Preach the gospel. Baptize and teach them to observe everything I've commanded you. And that focus, that vision, is something that we want to make sure that we are always looking at, always considering, because it is the mission that Christ gave. Upon receiving His authority, this is what He told us to do. And so not only should we never be negligent of it, we should always have it as a focus in our personal lives, but as a church together.
Now, whose job is it to preach the gospel? Everybody's. I think some can think, well, it's the job of the church. It's the job of the pastors to do what they do and preach. But turn with me to Acts 8, because I think Acts 8 gives such a great illustration of this point, the correct answer you all just gave. Should I read this one, David? Okay, I'll read this one. Thank you, Jaden. Now notice here, this was right after Stephen was martyred. And it says now in Acts 8, verse 1, now Saul was consenting to his death. And at the time, great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So notice the apostles were in Jerusalem, but all the believers were scattered throughout the region. And it says in verse 2, devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Verse 3, and as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And notice verse 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word. So it's your job. It is your job to preach the word, to find opportunities in your life with your family, with your friends, with those with whom you come into contact, looking for those opportunities, not beating it over somebody's head, but finding those opportunities that God gives you to preach the word, to be, as Peter said, to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Because if you're living this life of Jesus Christ, people are going to see that you're different. They should be seeing that you're different, that you're not like everybody else. And people are going to ask you, what's up with you? Why are you different? And to be ready to give that answer for the hope that lies within you. So as I was inspired coming home from the feast and realizing, what is it that I can do personally a better job of to make this be more of a priority in my life, but also what can we do as a church to make some decisions that will enable all of us collectively as well as individually to more effectively preach the gospel, to get this word out to people.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we did when we began the church is we wanted to be able to serve anyone who wanted to come and hear the Word of God. I think that was one of the things that we wanted to have an environment where we could come together to worship God, to fellowship together, to preach the Word as simply as we could. And obviously, as we've grown, we've had people come in and different families join us, but the video streaming has been one of the biggest areas of growth. In fact, when we were at the feast, we had some people approach us to say, hey, we want to be an affiliate church. So they want to be somewhere else in Minnesota, but they want us to be their service. their worship, that when they gather together as a group, they want to have this. And we have people watching in Texas and in Atlanta, Georgia area, Colorado, California, sometimes in Canada, with Joanne, when you're up there. But we have people from different areas and people we don't even know who are tuning in to the service. So one of the ways we want to make sure that we're continuing to offer service and to be able to serve through teaching and through what we offer here just in our worship service is we want to improve our systems for doing that. We want to make sure that we have a good system that when we broadcast a service out, that people can get it where they are. And as you know, we've had issues with that. So this is one thing we're looking at. How do we beef this up to make it a good service no matter where anyone is? If they want to tune in, they can worship with us and have a message.
I've been doing quite a bit of research, and what we've now obtained is a computer, a very high-powered computer. We've also obtained some software. I was hoping to have it ready for today, but despite spending a lot of time this week, we weren't quite ready. There's some more technical issues. But we're going to have the opportunity to have a more stable platform, also to have things like multiple cameras so that we can have a camera on the audience, on the stage. You can interface with different computers to wirelessly take things like the PowerPoint and load it into the software. And what I'm also really excited about is I discovered, somebody told me that there is a way for all of the iPad users out there, you can buy a wrapper browser which allows you to play Flash. So if you, So if you have iPads, you send me an email at scott@rvcc.co and I will tell you the software you can download for your iPad to actually watch the video stream. I even checked it this morning and it was working, so that's really exciting. But I think the more stable that is, the more, the higher quality it is, I think that will help bring some more people to encourage people who are out there watching. And as well, what we have been doing all along is capturing the actual video of the service, of the sermons, and we want to make those video sermons available online as well. And in addition to that, we want to link in just some of the social networking. We haven't done, I think, as good of a job as we can, particularly a lot of this social networking that's free and for people on Facebook and so forth, is doing things like uploading, putting a link on, there's a Rock Valley Christian Church Facebook fan page, and I think there's 12 or 14 people that have liked it. So do a search on Rock Valley Christian Church. You'll find Rock Valley. Click the like so you can start to be involved there. But we're going to be making links to our sermons. Gives David and me a chance to comment on the sermon if we'd like. One thing I just did this morning is if you go to Rock Valley Christian Church Facebook, you will find a digital copy of this booklet, which we had announced a few weeks back or several weeks ago. We have some more of these hard copy. This is an opportunity to take these books, to give them to your family and friends, either in hard copy format. We have hundreds of them, but it's even quicker to go on to click on the link to get a PDF copy of this yourself and send this to whomever in the world that you want to. So those are little things that we can do. It's free. It just takes a little bit of time, but it's an opportunity to share the message and preach.
Yeah, one of the other things that we think we can do is just make short videos to answer questions. And really, if you have questions that you think that people would like to see answered, we want to do it. Just little short 2-3 minute videos where someone asks a question about something and what is the answer? What does God say about the answer to that question? And just providing the information, delivering the gospel in short snippets where it's bite-sized pieces that somebody can take it, they can get an answer to the gospel and receive that. And you know, there's just so much that we can do more. And basically, as we talked about last week, what was the lesson that you took from the feast, then how do you apply it? One of the things that Scott and I want to do is dedicate ourselves more to putting more teaching materials on the internet, to putting more information out there, and these little videos are something that we're planning to do as a part of how do we apply now. We want to get the gospel out there. We want to be making sure the information is available. We want to provide as much teaching and support to people who want to learn more about the Bible, to learn the gospel, to have that relationship with Christ. And so, we're going to be making a dedication this coming feast that hopefully by next feast, God willing, we're there, that we can say, this is what we've done and this is what we're trying to offer out to other people.
a form of that as well as some additional booklets we want to create, things like the Hebrews 6 series that David had given, also a booklet on the Sabbath, a booklet on the holy days. So again, people have the opportunity to, in sort of bite-sized fashions, in digestible fashions, be able to share this as well as making digital copies available. But one thing, as we talk about preaching the gospel and doing things, it's really important to ground ourselves in the fact that you can be really busy doing a lot of these kind of things and confuse activity with progress, but this all has to be bathed and foundation laid with prayer. Because God is the true teacher. Jesus Christ is the shepherd. And all of this effort has to be done prayerfully, because what person A is able to do versus person B versus person C is different. But God has commissioned all of us to serve Him, to love Him, and to help in any way that we can, because that one-to-one contact that can be sort of on the ground, can be personal, can be genuine, that you can take the relationships that you've already built and be able to spread the message. But all of that should be led, first of all, with prayer. I guess another thing that we were thinking about is, you know, the role that we all play in the church related to helping the needy, helping the less fortunate. David had mentioned in his judgment series about the degree, as far as being judged, the degree to which we reach out to those who are in need. And you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew 25, it goes through two groups of people who clothed the naked, who fed the hungry, who, you know, gave water to those who were thirsty, and who visited people who were sick and in prison. And there was, the group said, "Well, Lord, when did we do these things?" And He said, "Look, if you've done these to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me." And then there was another group who basically denied Jesus because they did not do these things. And so I think we all need to, again, in our own lives, decide what's reasonable, what's appropriate, what are we able to do as it relates to serving the needy. Turn to James 1. It's a familiar scripture, James 1. Let's try this, David. I will read it and you can comment. It says here in James 1, verse 27, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world."
I think when we really think about this verse in terms of what is our religion, what is our practice, I think it's so easy to get caught off guard. I think the last few months we've talked a lot about this in the series we gave on judgment and justice, and when we considered the first covenant versus the second covenant, you can have a lot of practice in your life and it not necessarily be a pure religion. And He says pure religion, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Obviously, the unspotted from the world is something that we do in our fellowship, that we're encouraging one another to be obedient to the gospel, to live our lives unto God. And I think that, as Scott was saying, you can't just say, "Oh, we're going to do these things," without having a passion for God in it. I think if there's one thing you talk about, and I know that Rod, you'd mentioned it, that it was like a taste of the kingdom, and Rosemary, I believe you did as well, and there was a theme in some of the things that were spoken about this, the feast was like a taste of the kingdom. And Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you." And as a church, and as individual members of the body of Christ, this is the focus that we should have, to seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. There is a passion for God that we must have if we're going to continue to grow together. But that passion comes from seeking God. It's not found in the activity of writing a booklet or doing a video. Those things should all spring from a passion for God. It's not that I'm going to do the work or I'm going to be a humanitarian and that's it. It must come from God. And so when you think about keeping yourself unspotted from the world, what is the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All the way that ego can come into ministry, all the way that human work can come into ministry, this has to be something that God is bringing forward in us. And that is why prayer is so important. And so the other thing he says is to visit the widows and the fatherless. How are we together as a church reaching out to the widows, the orphans? How are we as a church together looking out for those in our community? And he says, do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. What about right even here in our midst? Are you aware of the needs of people here? And I'm not just talking about physical needs. I'm not just talking about, you know, food or clothing or shelter. I'm talking about the needs that people have spiritually, mentally, emotionally. The need for friendship. And are you looking out for the single person or the mom with kids who needs some help? Are you thinking about the elderly people or those that are older, the widows, the older women who are alone? Are you thinking about them? And I think, again, as you think about who God is and the way God does things, it leads you to want to have that same heart. Turn with me over to Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 7. It says, Deuteronomy 15 verse 7, If there's among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year of release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it become sin among you. And the reason he was saying this was, in the seventh year there could be a release where you had to remove every debt. And so he's saying, you know, maybe you're thinking, well, I'll never get the money back. I'll never get the help back if I do that. But he's saying, no, don't do that. Because verse 10, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor, to your needy in your land. So again, the very heart of who God is. He is kind to the unthankful and evil, as it says in Luke chapter 6. The heart of God is to be looking at others to have for someone else.
Well, I think there's opportunities here to tap in as it relates to serving the needy. You can either tap into an existing program or structure, or you're going to have an opportunity to start something yourself. You know, we have served at Hope food distribution for a few years now, and I think it's July and December. And December of next year. Hope's blessed with so many churches that know about them and want to serve, that churches who raise their hand and say, I'd like to help with the food distribution, sometimes only get on the schedule once or twice a year. So we have a couple of opportunities next year to distribute food. But there's opportunities to do things even more frequently than that. Just learned this week that Sarah Reed had discovered a soup kitchen in Hemet that apparently operates every day. Okay, so for those out maybe the 215 way, there's a soup kitchen that you can get involved with, and they're taking volunteers. Okay, so whenever... Okay, so if that's of interest to you, I had a chance also to talk to Marty's dear wife, Lucky. Lucky's so cool because I talked with her this week, and when you're done talking to Lucky, you find yourself smiling because she's just such a warm person. But she runs the food distribution for Calvary Murrieta, and they do it every Wednesday afternoon. And I said, well, Lucky, are there other people from other churches who come and volunteer? And she says, oh, absolutely. And if that's of interest to anybody who wants to help every Wednesday afternoon, you can certainly do that. What I'd like to also let everybody know here is if you have an opportunity, if you see a need in this Temecula Valley anywhere to reach out and to help anybody specifically, a group of maybe it's kids who are at risk, if it's older people, an opportunity to help serve somebody in this community to give them maybe some physical needs or even spiritual needs, but also linking with that a preaching and sharing of the gospel. Carolyn and I have a foundation that has a grant program going on right now, and you can go to our website and download the application at sharpenfoundation.org. But that grant application offers up to $1,000 to anybody who wants to take it upon themselves to find a need in the community and to go and serve somebody. And along with that physical service, that you're linking a sharing of the gospel message with them, because ultimately you can feed somebody physical food, but it's the spiritual food that they really need. So if you see a need and you want to get involved and start something yourself, please download the application and fill it out, and we will consider it, and we're pretty open to whatever idea might be there, as long as you own it and run it and just document what you're going to do and then update us on the results. So I think this gives us so many opportunities in this valley to serve, but what it takes is for you to pray about it, to decide between you and God what it is that you think you're talented to do, how much time you have, and then reach out and be willing to serve.
Yeah. Let's turn over to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. I pick it up here in verse 1. I think, again, one of the lessons that I came away from the feast with was just a consideration of this temporary time that we're here on earth, but how important and necessary it is to be busy with our Father's business. You know, Jesus said, "When I return, will I find them so doing?" Are we working for God and with God? It says here in Ephesians 4:1, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men." In other words, we who were the captives, we who were held under the bondage of sin, have been led captive into the holiness of God and into his ways and his works. And he said, now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, when you look at what a church is and how a church functions, Scott and I have been ordained here to be the elders. We are pastors. If you look at the word elder, you're going to find it's the same word pastor in the Greek. To shepherd, to help. The word shepherd, the same word. When you look at what our role is and how we are to be serving you, we are supposed to be a gift to you. I hope that we are. To help you, to encourage you, to continue in a work of ministry. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So when we're talking about praying about where you fit, I want you to realize that what we're asking you to do is take your part in the body. Every member of the body has a purpose. Every person in the body is in a walk and in a process. You know, when you first come to Christ, you're like a babe. You know, here was little Nolan up here today, right? We're looking at little Nolan. Little Nolan is dependent on what happens to him. He needs somebody to feed him or he's not going to get fed. Somebody better clothe him or he's not going to be clothed. Somebody's got to change his diaper or it's going to be full all the time, right? He's helpless. He can't protect himself. He can't do anything. That's where we start as babes when we come to Christ. We don't know anything. We have to begin a process of maturing. And when God calls us, and when we lay down our lives in baptism, and we rise up and we're brought into the captivity of Christ, we begin a process of working. Right now, all Nolan is a consumer. That's all he can do. He offers no benefit to society, so to speak. He can't even take care of himself, let alone anybody else.
And he's a trumpet blower when he cries.
He's awesome when he cries.
Right. So see,
he's got that going for him.
If you think about trumpet blowing, instead of crying, see, it takes on a whole new meaning.
Right. So then where do you go? Eventually, Nolan, God willing, he's going to grow, he's going to mature, he's going to be able to feed himself. He's going to be able to put his clothes on. He's going to be able to go to the bathroom. You know, it's all fun when you're potty training and everything. It's all this maturation process through life to the point where he grows up. He learns about interaction. He learns about learning, getting educated, learning how to develop and do things and have skills to eventually be an adult and mature. And when he becomes mature, God willing, he'll be blessed with a wife. Maybe they'll have kids. Sequoia will be grandparent, Rod will be great-grandpa, right? And there's a process by which God has this where there's a maturation process that's to be taking place. Now in the church, here's what can have a tendency to happen. People come in and they begin as a babe, as a consumer. And they don't realize that they're supposed to be growing to maturity to have a work of ministry with which they can serve other people. Every person is important in the body of Christ. Every person has a responsibility in the body of Christ. You know, when we were at the feast, I had a thing on the screen where I showed this big white blood cell. How many of you got to see that? It's really cool, isn't it? It's like that thing has like a mind of its own. It just kind of went after the bacteria in the bloodstream, and it was not going to be stopped till it got it. I want you to think about the leadership of that white blood cell. Because if the white blood cell wasn't out there doing the work that it was supposed to be doing, the bloodstream was going to be filled up with bacteria. The person was going to die. Because you can't have bacteria in your bloodstream. If you think about each part of the body, there has to be a certain amount of leadership that you take. Right? The eyes take the lead in seeing. The ears take the lead in hearing. The stomach takes the lead in digestion. Right? Each part, the red blood cells, what do? They provide for healing. They go about and they distribute things that are so vital. Every member has to take their position in doing the lead. But what if all the parts of the body just said, no, head, you do it. Or no, mouth, you do it. Or shoulders, you do it. Well then, where would you walk to? How would you digest food? What would be happening with the nervous system? Where would the lungs be to help you to even breathe? The point is that everybody is called to do a share. To each one, a measure of grace was given. To each person, to not just be a consumer, but to be an important, valuable part of the body. Everybody. Everybody. And when you start, you're going to start as a babe. And everybody should realize that. Even Paul said, hey, don't promote a novice because you can be puffed up. There's a maturation process that comes where you want a person to be developing, growing. But as you are growing, and some of you have been following Christ for many, many years, have you been seeking, where do I go from just being maybe a consumer to really taking part in the leadership of this church? Notice in Ephesians 4, just dropping down here, it says, verse 15, so speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working, notice this, by which every part does its share, causes growth for the body, for the edifying of itself in love. That each part does its share for the growth of the body, for the edifying, the building up of itself. So, this church is not the Scott and David show. This is a body and a fellowship of believers where everyone is supposed to be taking a part, growing and maturing to understand their part in the body. And how does that come? It's birthed through prayer. You cannot underestimate the power of going to God and asking Him to lead you, guide you, and direct you in the path. If you are God's field, if you are God's building, then it is incumbent upon you to get down on your knees before God and say, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with my time, with my life, with my efforts? How do you want me to go about my days? To find what He wants you to be doing now. Because it's the things that He gives us, maybe even little things, we think, where He's wanting to see if we will be faithful so He can bless us with greater things later.
Just to add to that, if you turn to 1 Corinthians 3, because I think once you discover and realize the talents that God has blessed you with, then He wants you to put them to work. There's a work to be done here. And in 1 Corinthians 3, it does say here in verse 8, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. So to realize that you're a fellow worker, you don't sit back and just say, okay, God, you do it all, because you are a co-worker in the process of what God is doing, using the talents He's given you to build. And in verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we know that the foundation of our life and of everything that's lasting is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. But then it said, now if anyone builds on this foundation... Okay, so there is a building that we all participate in. We are building something with our labor by God's name. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved as yet through the fire. So we realize there's a process of building. There is a command to build, to be a co-worker and co-laborer with God, to build something that lasts. And if you remember in John 15, when Christ said that I am the vine and you are the branches, and unless you are attached to me, you can bear no fruit. You can do nothing. And he says, my purpose in calling you and bringing you into this fellowship with me, into the family of God, is that you would not only bear fruit, but what? That your fruit would remain. So the fact is that Paul is illustrating work that's done, building that's being performed that will last, and other building that will be burned. And so it's not only the application of our talents, but it's doing it purposed in our heart to do what God is leading us to do, so that that work would ultimately remain and that it would be for God's glory. And, you know, it's really, and you know, you think, what I hear a lot is, well, you know, this person has talent, but I don't know what my talents are, or my talents aren't that great. How can I serve God? Because I don't feel like I have talents as good as, you know, maybe another person. But first of all, I don't think that that's true, because if God has called you to bring you into the body, as David just described, every member of the body has value. And every member, it says that He has placed us into the body as it pleases Him. So if you're in the body, that means you have a role, and that means you have talent. But keep in mind that to whom much is given, much is required. He who is faithful in little is faithful in much. It's not our job to compare what my talents are or your talents are with somebody else's talents. Our job is to take the talents that God has blessed us with and purposed and appointed to us, and to pray and say, God, show me how I can best use these talents, because there are needs in the body. There will always be needs in the body, and there's certainly needs out in our community, and we have a role to play, not just to help the body function, but also to be that salt and light so that others may not at the time recognize what you're doing and why you're doing it, but that in the day of visitation they will glorify God.
Right. The other thing it said, and we covered this in the sermon on the first day of the feast, was that when God was building the tabernacle, it said that he asked everybody who was of a willing heart to come forth and present their offerings. And as we're encouraging you, I hope today in some ways, to be thinking about and taking an inventory of your own life before God, we're encouraging you who are of a willing heart to make the effort to come forward, to determine where those places are in your life where you can be serving the body, where we can see you be fit, and even where you have ministries where others can join in. So be looking for those opportunities. But also in that message, we saw that there were artisans who God said, I put in their heart how to make this and how to craft this. And not only that, but how to teach other people to do it. Now, if God is so creative and can give creative inspiration to somebody, when you look at your life before God, you might be saying, I want to be helping the poor. I want to be helping the church. I'm not sure how. Well, you are before the right one to tell you how. Because your God and your Creator can do whatever He wants with you. He can give you gifts you didn't have. I've been speaking at this church now for years. I don't think I was given a gift of speaking until God finally gave me the ability to stand up, because I was too afraid to ever stand up before people and talk. Even today, as we're standing here, I'm like, I'm amazed that I'm not shaking like a nervous leaf up here. Because it used to be that way every time. So you just realize that God can work different things in your life, and He can take you and change you and transform you to who He wants you to be. But are you of a willing heart to give an offering? Because if you're not of a willing heart to give an offering, you might start to do a work without God's help, thinking, well, I know I can do this. This is my talent. I know this is... Maybe that's not what God wants you to do. So again, how are you going about seeking God for your role in the body? We need to be praying. We need to be seeking God. Are you guys still planning to lead prayer groups? Yes? No? Maybe?
Yes. Awesome.
Yes. We have people that have come to us, Eddie and Lisa, and felt like they needed to be leading a prayer meeting at the church. Garrett and Sarah have had the feeling that they need to be leading a prayer meeting at church. So we're going to have prayer meetings. We have every morning before church. It's an opportunity to come together with other brethren and pray together. 9:45 if you're available, but also in the evening. But I want you to realize that when God talks about His house, He said, my house shall be a house of prayer. It doesn't get built through activities. All the things we talked about, they're exciting, but we've been praying about them. But maybe you guys haven't. Maybe you're not getting the same leadings we're getting. Scott and I know where we need to be going right now. We are unified in the direction where God wants to take us. But where do you fit? Where are you growing to? If you're not at a place where you're ready to serve, then what do we need to be working on and developing so that you eventually are? But here is where all development takes place. It is before the throne of God. Sometimes we can focus so much on the Word, we forget how important prayer is. And I'm going to correct that, because we're going to be focusing on it a lot here in the next few weeks. We need to make sure we're a house of prayer. Do you realize what an awesome opportunity it is to show up this morning? I think we had seven people to pray together. There's something to be treasured in that. Now, if you don't feel willing, don't be there. Some of you have young kids, you can't be, you have other scheduled things, that's fine. I'm asking you to consider it. I'm asking you to pray about where you can participate in the body. But even praying at home, alone, just coming before God, I'm asking you, as part of the body of Christ, that you who have given your lives to Him, that you would have a passion in your desire to seek after God, that you would have a passion to come after Him. And if you're saying, hey, I don't even know if I have that passion, do you know how you begin to have the passion? By stopping what you're doing and looking at God. Because when you realize how passionate God is about you, that He loves you so much, as we sang that song, how great your love, how wide, how deep, how great. When you really think about who God is, that He's a creator of the universe, and that He thinks about you specifically, I don't know how you can't return that love. When you focus on His love, that love will come out. And it's from love that all good work comes forward. It's not because I have to. It's not because I should. It's because I want to love with the love of Christ. 1 John 3:16. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16 says, and because He gave His life for us, we also ought to lay down our lives for others. Because He did it, we should do it. So we're putting this on your hearts today, because it's on our hearts and what we need to be doing to further grow as a body of believers, to grow in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, to realize that there are those that will want to come to tear down the fellowship and even get specific into religious things. And we can get so far off on the details and even on fleshly things that we miss the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace that God is creating with one God, one faith, one hope, one baptism, that we come together with the power of God, that as we go before God, that we're inspired, and we bring that to the fellowship, that we together can grow further as a church. We believe this is what we're supposed to be doing, that we're supposed to be refocusing our efforts and taking an inventory of our lives before God to realize where we need to make steps. I brought up the prayer meeting because somebody had a heart to do it, and then it's up to them to say, who will jump on board with me? Sarah's going to do things at the soup kitchen. She's planning it. She's taking leadership, but the rest of the body then has the opportunity to jump on board and support the ideas. You may have things God is leading you to do. You may have things God is leading you to do, and you can come and say, this is where I feel like I'm being led. Who would support me and help me in these things? You know, we're here because we have so much support of all of you. I'm amazed by the people that do so many things. You know, Cheryl, every week, we have sermons on the internet because she comes and she takes the recorder from me and she listens and she edits it and she makes it all good. It's just a job that, you know, is unsung, but it's a job that's very important for all the people that want to listen to the messages later. There's all kinds of things that can be done to be helpful in the body, and things, whether in the body or outside, that we can do. And I just encourage you to look at these things and take inventory.
I just wanted to share one more thing to encourage all of us, and that is in a couple weeks, Sarah and Garrett are going to be talking about the International Day of Prayer, and we spent a little time last night as a family just thinking about and talking about the fact that such a significant portion of this world is not free when it comes to their daily life, but certainly when it comes to being able to talk openly and practice openly and preach openly about the Lord Jesus Christ. We in this country, while we've got a lot of problems in this country and there's continued encroachments on our freedom, the fact is that we are free enough to do all of the things we talked about today. You try some of the same stuff in other countries right now, you'll be either thrown in jail, you'll be tortured, or you'll be killed. So are we appreciating and do we thank God for the freedom that we have to even go out and serve Him openly? We don't have to hide. We don't have to crouch around corners and behind poles like some people did at the feast. But rather, we can openly serve God. And with all these things we talked about today, let's be thankful. Let's thank God for the freedom we have, and how much longer is that freedom going to be with us? I don't know. But for every day that we have the freedom to serve Him and serve others, let's take advantage of it. Let's do it individually, as God has called you to do certain things, but let's also collectively as a church support and encourage one another. If somebody's doing something, encourage that effort. Whether you attend, whether you pray for them, whether you call them and say thank you for serving in that way, there's so many things we can do individually and collectively as a body. So what a great opportunity we have to serve Him.